Remember when your grandma watched The Member Drive on PBS and joined so she could get that sweet Peter, Paul, and Mary concert on VHS? Now you can do the same thing with the Pop Culture Preservation Society. Each of our episodes is created with the help of listeners like you. And you can become a financial supporter of the PCPS over on Patreon.com to help us pay the bills and keep doing what we love. To show our appreciation, we'll send you welcome gifts and give you access to bonus content, like video recordings of our episodes, after-the-episode discussions, and blooper reels from the cutting room floor. Just go to Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, type Pop Culture Preservation Society into the search bubble, and choose the level of support that feels right for you. And if you're not able to contribute at this time, remember that listening is the most important form of support you could ever give. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to another one of our fun, supersized summer reruns. This is another one that our listeners chose. I posted a poll in stories about which of our episodes about Gen X memories would you want to hear again? And choosing from a list of things like our TV homes and our fashion, roller rink memories, food, lunch memories. And we had a three-way tie, which is insane.
Surprise, right? We love a good tie, though.
We do love a good tie. So we might get to all three of them this summer, but we kind of are starting with the one that we haven't rerun before, and that is episode 19. So from way back in 2021, and it's episode on our 70s and 80s fashion.
Ooh, yes, exciting.
But for our little opening conversation, we're missing someone.
We are. We are missing Kristen. But it's a good thing, everybody, mm-hmm. because she is taking a much needed vacation. That woman has been working so hard on her audiobook, you guys. She is putting the finishing touches on Worldwide Crush that you will be able to hear in her own voice, her own words, piping through your ears when the audiobook becomes live, hoping, crossing our fingers, July 11th is the planned date, which happens to be the year anniversary of Worldwide mm-hmm. Crush's debut. So if all goes according to plan, that will be happening on July 11th. And this week, she is putting her feet up, like I said, much deserved, and taking a relaxing vacation. Mm-hmm. So listeners, you're just stuck with Michelle and myself.
And if some of you are confused, like this week, Kristen's on vacation, it's because we're recording this the week of July 1st. You actually will be hearing this on July 8th. So fingers crossed that you'll be able to hear Worldwide Crush in just a few days.
That's right.
I'm really excited.
I am too. It's been a really fun process. I've been helping her with it. And boy, she has been so dedicated in learning about how you do this. And I'm excited. It's something that we've worked really hard on. She's worked really hard on. Mm-hmm. And I think our listeners are going to appreciate hearing it in her voice because she is Millie. So yeah. It's a whole different way of absorbing her book rather than reading it yourself is listening to her read it. And mm-hmm. speaking of that absorbing, I saw that Reese Witherspoon the other day mm-hmm. posted about books because people were having that discussion of if you listen to a book on audio, are you actually reading it? And she had the line of, it doesn't matter how you absorb books. And I loved that because mm-hmm. it didn't mean if you read it, you listen to it or whatever, you are absorbing those words and the storyline and all of that. And I just thought that was a great way to put that. Don't you think, Michelle?
I agree. And people have very strong feelings about that. If you listen to a book, does that count as a book you read? And many people say, absolutely not. Everybody has their own definition of what the word read means.
Yeah.
But I feel like to anyone who loves books, reading a book isn't just being able to visually see the words, it is to absorb the story. And so however you do that is reading the book, to me, at least.
Yeah. Well, listeners, actually, I'd like to know your opinions, if you have any, after listening to this episode. Message us or put them in the comments for today's episode because, I don't know how I feel about it.
Here's my thought, though. You know, people that are visually impaired, if they're listening to books, does that mean they're not reading the book? I think it does mean they're reading the book if they're listening to it. I've gotten a lot more into Audibles over mm-hmm. the past like 6 months, especially now that I'm walking a dog twice a day.
That's right.
But the only books I'd ever been able to listen to up until about 6 months ago were memoirs. So mm-hmm. I love listening to a memoir, and I love listening to the person read it who wrote it, who it's about. Right. So one of my favorites is Henry Winkler's, if you all haven't read that one. So good. But I think, Carolyn, it's thanks to you, I've gotten into listening to mysteries. I don't read mysteries. I've never really gotten into that genre, but I am obsessed with listening to them. And I don't like the really grisly ones where it's really terrifying, right. like people are getting stalked or there's a home invasion or anything like that. And I'm also very particular, mostly, I need it to be a British narrator. And I have found, like, Joanne Froggatt, she was in Downton Abbey, if you remember. She was Anna, right?
Yeah,
Anna.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, she read one that the story even wasn't that great. I was a little bit like, meh, this is kind of thin. I couldn't get enough of listening to her read. But I've kind of started to figure out my favorite narrators. Uh-huh. And I then will just search them. And yes. I'll kind of read any – I'll listen to any – well, I said read, and that's what I mean. Read, yeah. Listen to any – book that they are narrating.
Right.
And now you've turned me on to a new narrator. The book we just read, Listen for the Lie?
Yes. Yes. That was so good.
Some of these original Audible ones, I think they write them more like a performance.
Yeah, like a radio show. Back in the day.
We're listening to our stories.
That's right. That's right.
And those, they have a whole cast of characters. They have like, there was like one had like 15 people I listened to, and you could hear like the clunk. Like I could see the person with the shoes on their feet. Like, you know, and it was like I was listening to a play. Mm-hmm. I loved that one. And now I'm listening to one so good, you guys. It's called This Is How I Lied by Heather Gudenkauf. And the narrator, I love this narrator. Her name is Brittany Presley. She's not British.
Okay.
But when I just bought this one on Audible because I thought, oh, this sounds like a good story. And her voice, immediately, I was like, who is that? I've heard her. It's because the very first Audible I ever listened to in my whole life was one of my favorite books, which is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. I love that book so much. I've read it in print and because I listened to it. But Brittany Presley narrated that, and I've listened to another book since that she's narrated. And so now I have some other ones on kind of my wish list by her. But a good narrator makes all the difference.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I have a narrator that I have really enjoyed listening to her voice. So now I'm choosing books based on what other books she's narrated, not necessarily the plot or anything of the book. The narrator that I'm enjoying is a woman named January Lavoie. That is a pretty cool name, too.
It's
January
cool
Lavoie.
Isn't she the one that did Listen for the Lie?
I think she did. And she also did The Change, which is one of Kristen's favorite novels about these kind of menopausal witches in like a little.
That have a podcast?
No, but isn't that crazy, too? Several audiobooks I've listened to. Yes, have had a podcast as a main part of the plot. I want to tell you about a fun little find that I discovered when it comes to audiobooks and also ebooks. Okay, there is an app called Everand. So Everand, $11.99 a month. And then it is unlimited audiobooks and ebooks. So it's not like you're limited to one that you would be on Amazon with Audible. It might not have every single book you've ever wanted to read or listen to in its catalog, but it has enough that I swear by it. I get so many books on it. It's, like I said, $11.99 a month. You can also listen to podcasts through it. You can read magazine articles through it as well. So we will put a link to that also in our newsletter. So listeners, I'm just laughing because we're going to talk about fashion. Seems like we should be talking about like our favorite childhood books or something reading related, but we are going
to
be talking.
It's fine because
about
it's related to, once again, Worldwide Crush. Look for that coming soon. But
yes.
I thought earlier when you said speaking of absorbing, you were going to segue into terry cloth.
Yes.
Because didn't you wear, I think we talk about it in this episode. I wore so much terry cloth like an 8 and 9 year old, the little jumpers. And listeners, Carolyn was just saying earlier, she kind of wishes we could still wear terry cloth because now that we sometimes have, you know, you might have like hot flashes
or a little leakage.
Terry cloth would be
leakage. terry cloth could just terry absorb it, shorts. Which would be nice. And then so yeah. I was also thinking about other kind of Gen X kid fashion that would be really beneficial to have now. Like, you know, those ruffled collars. I know we talk about that in this episode because Michelle was all about a good ruffle. And I was thinking how, yeah, how nice it is to have them up in the neck area so that they can just kind of, you know, maybe camouflage if we needed it. Not that there's anything bad with our gobblers, but if you didn't want to maybe have a gobbler all the time, you could wear your ruffled blouse.
I'm still all about a good ruffle. I love any type of ruffle on a swimsuit. My husband kind of gives me a hard time because, like, if we'll be out together and I'll say, oh, isn't this shirt cute? And if it either has a puff sleeve or a ruffle sleeve, he'll just be like, you have 14 of those of that in your closet. And I do. I can't pass up a good ruffle sleeve or a good puff sleeve. And I just love it. If you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh no, never. Like, I would have never worn that. So I wonder if I'll ever stop wearing.
Right. Well, luckily, like you said, I mean, they're back in fashion. You can find them, so it's not like you're looking like you're trying to dress like you're a kid again. You are stylish. Mm-hmm. So good for you. I was just thinking about toe socks. I don't remember if we talk about that in this episode.
I loved toe socks and they were so uncomfortable.
Yes. Super uncomfortable. And I was thinking now I'm developing a hammer toe, so I don't think that I could wear. Or they might be good, like, therapeutic socks that help train my hammer toe.
Oh, my God. Just make sure they're rainbow. Did you have I had the toe socks and all the toes were a different rainbow color.
Yeah. I thought those were the only kind they made. I thought they were all those rainbow ones.
They're so cute.
Isn't that crazy? Well, we could live anywhere in the country, like, you know, Washington State. I could be in New Jersey. We could be in Texas, wherever. And we're all wearing rainbow toe socks pretty much around the same time. And that's without social media.
So this is a really fun episode. It's episode 19. So, oh my gosh, that's like 150 episodes ago.
Yes. So remember, the quality of the audio, we've come a long way. So if it's a little bit different than you're used to, bear with us and know that we had a lot of growth in terms of our technical knowledge or technological knowledge as time went on.
That's true. It's a fun one. I'm going to listen to it again today too.
Well, good. We sure hope that you will enjoy listening to this episode 19, From Gauchos to Garanimals.
Is that right? Garanimals to Gauchos, actually. But does it matter? I don't think it matters.
So, because it's still great. So enjoy.
Yeah. Bechego was Bichego, and they were like track pants, but they were slacks. They were like slacks that had a stripe down the side, and you wore it with a rugby shirt and pearls.
Hello world, is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who did windmills in gym so they wouldn't pull a muscle playing dodgeball.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we will be saving the stone-cold, super-serious style, those far-out fashions and gnarly threads of our Gen X youth.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists. Of all the cultural markers of our 1970s and early 80s childhoods, one of the most defining was the fashion. What the trends were, so many trends, the popular brands, where we shopped, what our favorite outfits were, who we looked up to, our hits, our misses, so many misses, and on and on. Our fashion choices in the 70s and early 80s reflected not only the era, but defined who we were.
That is so true. I was thinking about this because you could be a hippie, a square, a preppy, a druggie, a valley girl, a radical, a Madonna wannabe, an urban cowboy, or just your favorite kid from the Brady Bunch. There were many icons, right?
Yeah. And like so many personalities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Identities almost, yeah.
And they were so identifiable. There was no gray. You couldn't be a hippie and a preppy. Like no, those two things, there was no meeting of the minds on those two things. And who we were was often explained by our favorite outfit.
For sure.
Do you guys, mm-hmm. do you remember having an outfit that just made you feel like a badass? Like when you wore it, you were really telling people who you were.
I didn't turn badass, Krista, until I was like 47.
I came out badass.
I was so opposite of badass when I was a kid. But I do have some favorite outfits that come to mind. And I'm going to say in the late 70s, it would have probably been my baby blue satin hang ten jacket. Yeah. I felt Ooh. So cool when I wore that jacket. When it was a little oversized, so I kind of got to wear it for a couple years. I kind of grew into it. Mm-hmm. I loved that. But I will say that my memories of fashion are more tied to the early 80s mm-hmm. when I was in fifth grade and up. So I have definite memories of 70s. But as far as one like an outfit and really remembering the clothes that defined me, mm-hmm. that pretty much for me at least comes from like 80, 81 and up.
Because that's your coming of age. That's
yeah,
when you're
I think so. That's when fashion kind of becomes yeah. You don't, you know, before that, maybe my mom picked out a lot of the stuff or mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah, fifth, sixth, seventh grade for sure. So I'm going to say for the 80s, I'm going to pick like 82. And I'm going to say it would be, picture this, a teal mini skirt with tights, with my flat purple jellies.
Oh, yeah.
An Esprit t-shirt, but layered over an Izod shirt. So I have a collar that I can pop up.
You can pop it.
A jean jacket with about 12 Duran Duran and Wham pens, and also the pens that say, like, totally or barf me out. And a bandana that we would, like, roll up, and then you'd tie it around your neck. Or you'd tie it around your neck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as luck would have it, I actually have a picture of that very outfit.
Oh, my goodness. So you were a Valley girl.
Well, I lived in Ridgefield, Washington, which was definitely not anything like the Valley mm-hmm. or the Valley, wherever. But we tried.
Well, I'm afraid we might not have been friends.
Oh,
I think I made fun of people that dress like you did.
Did you really?
Well, in my head, and, mm-hmm. I was definitely in the 80s, definitely more preppy, I guess. Mm-hmm, I would have mm-hmm. had my Bass Weegans on mm-hmm. and granted, I went to Catholic high school and I wore a uniform, but I would have definitely had my Bass Weegans on. I probably would have had a turtleneck with a Fair Isle sweater over that with probably my khaki, my chinos, or some corduroys, probably wide whale green corduroys or something. And yeah, I would have just waved at you and kept on going.
I don't think I knew anybody like you.
You are East Coast, Carolyn. That's significant.
I was about to say, I'm West Coast. We're like in totally mm-hmm. different regions, though. Like, I don't even know if I knew anybody. I didn't know what Fair Isle was, I don't think.
No, that's an East Coast term. Like, we as adults know what Fair Isle sweaters are, but I didn't know as a teenager or a child.
And during
but
the
my
same
East
time,
Coast people did.
We for sure were wearing crew neck sweaters.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. all like solid color crew neck sweaters for sure and penny loafers for sure. But I feel like everything you're describing, you could have walked straight out of like an L.L. Bean catalog. Mm-hmm. I can picture it now. Mm-hmm. I don't think, though, I think it has to be a regional.
Well, yeah. Maybe. And that very well might be. Well, I want to share with you guys my 70s outfit because I was channeling my inner Lori Partridge. Every time I see this photo of me in this outfit, I think, I'm Susan Day. It's just obvious. So it was a bright yellow bodysuit with three little snaps at the crotch. And it had this kind of white elongated collar and three little buttons. And then a brown polyester miniskirt. And I looked so stinking groovy. Except here's the problem that taunts me my entire life until probably early high school. I was so tall for my age that I couldn't really ever wear that to school because the mini skirt was too short. And those damn snaps in the crotch just kept coming unsnapped.
Every time you sit down, it's like, woo!
Or there would be like one just hanging on for dear life. And I'd be just
that could be really painful.
Well, it was more mentally painful because then when it did happen and if I was out, I'd be afraid that it would start creeping its way up and out of the back of that miniskirt people would know. And there was no way to discreetly like stick your hand down there and try to re-snap it.
Oh my God. So, in sociology, trying to snap your bodysuit.
Well, I was only in second grade, so I wasn't taking sociology, but yeah.
I can remember being in the restroom at school, and there were two girls, two sixth grade girls in a stall, and there was like this manic, there was a melee going on, and it was because the girl couldn't get her bodysuit snapped, and the friend is trying to help her snap her bodysuit, and I will never forget this. Aww. The girl finally screams out, "Oh, piffle!"
What?
Piffle. I have been saying, "Oh, piffle," since that day in the restaurant at St. Anthony Park.
That's a really good friend. That's true friendship.
That is really good friendship, right? Okay, so I had a lot of badass outfits, but my first badass outfit was an orange polyester pantsuit. And it had a green stem.
Wait, were you 40?
I know. That's why I was badass. So it had a green stem that went, it was a tunic, and it went all the way up the tunic, and then the collar was in the shape of petals, and it was extremely flammable. It was very flammable. But I felt so legit, you guys. The pantsuit was so grown up. I felt like I was a teacher or
a lady,
like a hostess at Denny's or something.
How old are you?
I'll show you exactly how old I was.
She's reaching in.
I was this many years old. I'm holding up the actual outfit.
I have it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have my pantsuit. Look at feel like a lady.
It's darling.
Those are the collars that the Fisher Price little people have. Those.
Oh, yeah. A little scalloped collar that goes all the way around. Yeah. And my head was, is it the stamen? No, that's inside the flower. I have to go back to life science. I don't know. I'm the inside of the flower. Coming out.
Oh, that's adorable.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I would wear
adorable.
It with my white go-go boots. Oh, you guys.
Oh, but the ones that zip
cool.
on the side. So sorry.
I know. That's a huge disappointment. I wanted them to zip up the front, but they were patent leather and they were white. Okay. Did you guys have, there are some items that just scream an era, right? Mm-hmm. Or a moment in time, a singular sartorial statement that anchored you in the 70s or the 80s. Did you have any signature pieces like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
had
did.
A lot. Yeah,
I probably had a lot, but I'm going to pick the one that I think would say a lot if I would don it right now and turn around. It was my denim button-up shirt, long sleeve shirt that had a hand painted Holly Hobby on the back, very detailed Holly Hobby, and then my name embroidered on the front because my sister had a matching one. And then once I spilled paint on the front of it, it was not a good day at my house.
Carolyn, I have a surprise for you. Okay, here's mine. There's my little embroidered K. I have my denim button-up shirt. Oh, it's got all sorts of pink appliques on it. And then on the back.
Oh, no.
I have an appliqued Holly Hobby on the back of my denim shirt.
Well, look.
And
this was meant to be.
I know. Oh. Isn't that crazy? And so the actual shirt that I'm wearing on my grown-up body right now is a denim button-up, and it is an homage to my Holly Hobby denim
it's
shirt.
So cute.
Oh. Isn't that cute? I wish I could still fit into it. I would wear that.
Okay, so my signature piece, just like Carolyn said, is something that if I was wearing it right now, it's out and about, it is a sign of the times. And I wore this signature piece probably from age 4 all the way to like 9. And I have lots of photos that I'll be posting of various ages of me in this. And that, my friends, is the shirt or the dress with the giant bow that you tie under your chin, you know, like around your neck.
Mm-hmm. Often
ladies
silky,
wore them too. Yeah, ladies silky. Wore them too with like, you know, suit Pant jackets, suit. Right? And apparently children wore them too, because I have, you know, I'd have a white one with the big bow that I would wear under a little vest or a dress, or I'd have, you know,
every
a dress
event,
that had,
every choir concert, every Christmas dinner.
I have a lot of school pictures where I'm wearing
school
a different
pictures.
Type of outfit with a big bow. Yeah.
And I would often wear like a velvet vest with my big silky bow shirt.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of Christmas pictures where I'm in the with a big bow. So yeah, we'll post a lot of these pictures. But I think for sure that is something that
that's your
is,
signature piece.
That was my signature piece. Yeah,
I have a couple that just scream the era. Number one is my poncho collection, made by various grandmas. right? Mm-hmm. And I just, when I wore my poncho, I felt like a teenager. I just loved it mm-hmm. so much. What about the rainbow gauchos? The gauchos that had the embroidered rainbow up one leg and across the butt and down the other side?
Oh, I'm not remembering that.
No? Was that regional?
If I saw a picture, it might fire a synapse.
Okay,
in my brain,
we have to look up rainbow gauchos right now because this was a very specific thing. This wasn't just gauchos.
For sure, we yeah. work all the
this,
time.
And it was embroidered.
Know.
And it would, mm-hmm. I can't exactly remember how the pattern went, but it somehow went up one leg and around your ass cheeks and down the other side of your gauchos.
Huh. Carolyn, we should be wearing our ponchos.
Yes, you should.
It's a little warm. Mm-hmm. Mine's in my closet here where I'm sitting. Carolyn and I, when we first started the PCPS, I crocheted a poncho that I was going to wear at every recording session. But then every recording session turned into our closet, and it's right. a little warm in my closet. And Carolyn's mom crocheted her one. So we'll have to take a picture in our ponchos and post, too.
Because that real screams. Groovy. Right, mm-hmm. that screams yeah. groovy. Okay, the other thing that was, like, of the moment that just told you exactly when this was happening was my stretchy rainbow Mork from Ork belt that matched
all the
belts. His suspenders,
sure. yeah. Yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. That told you exactly wow. where we were.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll throw one more in, too, for the 70s. I was always in a long skirt. Mm-hmm. Like I was always in like a long patchwork skirt. Mm-hmm. Or my mom, you know, made us long dresses. So everything was long. Mm-hmm. Unless it was, I was wearing my sister's
maxi.
Hand-me-downs.
Maxis. The maxi dress, the maxi skirt. I could add my red bandana because I'm wearing my red bandana right now in homage to my red bandana. Mm-hmm. Except that's poorly worded because it is not an homage. This is the red bandana. This is the red bandana I wore every day as a kid. It's Aww. The same. I'm not kidding you. I'm wearing on my head at this moment on April 28th in 2021. I'm wearing on my head the bandana that I wore in 1976 all the time. Ask my brother. He's like, my God, you have a bandana in every photo. Not only that, wow. it's got the same knot. I never untied it.
Oh, so that means you wash it with a knot in
yes.
it?
Yeah.
You never wash it?
Oh, yeah, I wash it with the knot
okay.
in it.
So I want to ask you guys something. Was there a moment where you got caught out by a regional trend? Like something was all the rage in your classroom and then you went somewhere else and you were off the mark. Like, for example, when we moved to Washington State, where wide leg jeans were popular from Arizona,
Michelle,
where straight leg jeans.
Like, that's already, popular. That whole thing already is like, oh, Michelle. Oh.
My sister and I were huge outcasts. You guys, my sister was actually bullied. She was in junior high and like her first, don't worry, she was fine. She ended up with she ended up being super popular. Oh. it was a very, very small town. So in Washington. And so, you know, her entire like seventh grade class had like 90 kids in it, like the whole class.
Yeah.
And she walks in like straight leg, I don't know, Levi's or something. And they called her like saran wrap legs. And, you know, she's the new girl and wearing the different thing. So, yeah. So was there a time like that for you guys where
denim has a lot to do with it because jeans were kind of what everybody wore every day, but you all had to be wearing the same jeans. So the summer after eighth grade, we took a road trip out east to Massachusetts. And where I was from, in the northern suburbs of Minneapolis and St. Paul, we were wearing Lee jeans and R.D. Simpsons. I'm now realizing that I have to say R.D. Simpsons. No, oh, there's not R.D.
I thought it was A-R-T-I-E.
I did too, yeah. and I don't know what you're
R.D.
talking about.
Simpsons. I don't know. Oh my God, this is crazy. They're baggies. And of course, I did not have the actual R.D. Simpsons. I had like the JCPenney version of R.D. Simpsons. And I arrived in Massachusetts and my cousin was wearing Levi's. And this was horrifying to me because where I came from, only the burnouts and the rednecks wore Levi's. And I was like, I thought you were like Harvard people or something. I thought you were supposed to be better than me. But apparently you're just rednecks and burnouts. I mean, it was really crazy for my mind to figure out.
Like we always wore like Levi 40, what was it, like 401
501s,
or something?
501s, the button fly.
Yeah, but that was like mid-80s, I think.
That was mid to late, yeah.
We were all into Levi's then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was into Levi's, gosh, late 70s, I guess.
See, out east.
Well, no, actually, that was when I lived in Texas. So it was you either wore Levi's or you wore Wranglers. Because in Texas, if you were Western horse riding kind of gal or guy, yes, you wore the Western shirts with, you know, the pearl buttony looking things
on
the front, the snap shirts, and your Wranglers, and your cowboy boots, and your leather belt with usually your name in the back, you know, Troy.
Troy. I can picture the font, too, like the lettering.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you could even get Wranglers
and
here.
A big old belt buckle as well. So, and it was very distinct lines based on what
who
group
you were
fell in.
And who you hung out with, which was why I couldn't wear Levi's because I didn't want people to think I was a burnout.
I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Did your mom sew?
Oh, like a factory worker.
Yeah. But sewing in the 70s was not like the Waltons. It wasn't like, oh, we need to make our clothing because we have no money. Sewing in the 70s was like scrapbooking.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, for me, one of my fondest memories with my mom would be to go to the fabric store and hop up on one of those stools, and she'd put the big, like, Butterick and Simplicity binder things in front. And it just seemed like the world was there, like, every outfit.
That was fun.
Yes. And, you know,
that
sometimes
was super fun.
Like a smocked little shirt, it could be a dress. Like, it'd be in the same pattern. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is like a 3-for-1. It was
the magic.
It was so exciting. And for me, especially when I was younger, again, because I was tall, my mom, at least when she sewed my clothes, could make the pants the real length. And nobody would call me like, where's the flood? And you have high waters on. And that was just awful.
And I had the opposite issue in that all of my pants dragged on the floor, or everything had to get cut off. So when my mom made my pants, they were the exact right length.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that
so
great?
All the moms in my neighborhood went to, it was like their scrapbooking night, but they went to Stretch and Sew. I don't even know what, I mean, was there more going on at Stretch and Sew? I have no idea.
Did they exercise and then sew?
I don't think so, but for all I know, there was like a jazzercise room and then like a sewing machine room. I don't know, but they all came home with the same thing. One of them being that Holly Hobby shirt, which makes me wonder, was this like in a book and everybody did this as a project or something?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But that's like, where a lot of like the mother-daughter dresses came from. My mom made all of those. There was so much twinning in the 70s.
Oh, yes.
Like you would... Also, all the girls in my neighborhood would have the same thing. My mom and I would have the same thing. My mom even made me a dress that was a matching dress to the one she made for a life-size doll that she also
made. That's creepy.
So I was twinning with my doll, and her name was Betsy McCall. So I think that was a thing also. And I must say, I mean, it was super cool, but I, as you know, I had trouble with some abstract concepts, and I didn't know, like, was this doll, like, do I play with it? Is it a decorative item? Do I marry it? Like, what
is
do I?
Is it supposed
I wasn't
to be
sure.
My sister?
Is it my sister?
Is she my friend?
Life size,
like
of
my
a
size.
5-year-old or 6-year-old?
Yeah.
Like, you could hold it
like
to
a 3.5-foot tall doll.
Yes.
Oh, my.
It was like a giant rag doll. And she made the doll, and it had like yellow. It was supposed to look like me, so it had yellow yarn and ponytails, and
that's
we had the same dress.
My mom was actually, she was a really talented seamstress, actually. And when you said it wasn't as much for money, you know, for people saving money, there were times in our in my childhood, which I've alluded to before in the podcast. It was very up and down. And I know for sure she sewed for us when we were very little for that very reason, because it was a lot less expensive and we could have really cute clothes. And my sister and I, swear to God, dressed alike until we were like 8 and 11.
Like, and she
drove us crazy
alike
as we got older. But yeah, I will post some pictures too. Every Christmas dress, you know, she made all of our Christmas dresses. But yeah, my mom loved to sew. And I feel like one of the things that made her really sad is that neither my sister nor I had any interest. Like we wouldn't, like when, you know, we took home ec and we would learn to make little Barbie clothes or something. But literally when my husband and I got married, he was like, can you hem these pants? And I stapled them.
I regret that, not knowing how to sew. I really do. I wonder if it's a generational thing, like because our moms did.
And it skipped a generation. Yeah.
I think everybody feels that way.
Hello, listeners. If you've been listening for the past few months, you know that I've been experimenting with a new clothing rental membership from Armoire. After the pandemic, I fell into the routine of pretty much not getting dressed at all, ever. I basically had nighttime pajamas and daytime pajamas, and it was a habit that was so hard to break when it was time to start leaving our houses again. Was I comfortable? Yes. But did I look like me? Not really. That's where I thought Armoire might be helpful for me. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. My membership has helped me build a better wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and look a lot more like me than my pajamas did. Is comfort still a priority? 100%. That's one of the things I'm learning as I experiment with new styles. There are clothes out there that feel like pajamas, but I still look like I got dressed in the morning. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/PCPS, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Hi, listeners. It's Michelle. And like all three of us here at the Pop Culture Preservation Society, I know a lot of you are experiencing many of the delightful symptoms that come with perimenopause and menopause. Ones people tell you, you just have to live with for years. But that is absolutely not true. And Carolyn, Kristen, and I are proof. We all began taking Hormone Harmony several months ago and have truly noticed big improvements to things like menopause-related brain fog, shut up, we have, sleep quality, weight management, hot flashes, and our general moods and well-being. You guys, I've even weaned off the HRT patches I've worn for the past 6 years. Happy Mammoth, that's the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And it isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, over 17,000 of them. Honestly, Hormone Harmony has become a phenomenon. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com using the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today.
Okay. Do you guys remember the t-shirt shack?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Can we say a little prayer? Can we just say a little prayer?
I loved, loved going to the t-shirt shack and flipping through the decals, just like you'd flip through record albums at the Sam Goody or the Tower Records. And can you guys right now, can you smell it?
I'm doing it in my mind right now.
Burning plastic, that really hot plastic smell.
Yes. I want it.
I think maybe one of my favorite places to go, and like maybe sixth, seventh grade. And I had a lot of decal shirts, but I'm going to tell you one that I remember loving. So I'm in like seventh grade. Picture glittery, big glittery numbers, and it says 87 rules, because that was my graduation year, which was super cool to wear when you're only in like sixth grade. And it seems so far off.
Yeah.
So it's a baseball shirt, because those were really cool. 87 rules in like rainbow glitter. I can still remember like it folded together, and when you'd unfold it, it would like stick together.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite dry. Another thing was this just where I lived, but a big fad for us is we'd get a decal on the front and then we'd have these baseball shirts and we'd have our names going down the sleeve. Did you guys have
that? Oh, that was a thing for a minute. Yeah. I never had one, but that happened for,
It costs extra, so I I could only have something on the front.
Right. Do you guys remember one of your favorite t-shirt shack shirts?
I think I only had one. I think I just had a Mark and Mindy. And but I would accompany other people as they went to choose their t-shirt shack. But I think I only came home with one. I take that back. I might have had an Andy Gibb also. But I remember going once with my grandma. And my grandma got a T-shirt Shack shirt. And I just thought, that is so cool that this old lady is getting a T-shirt Shack shirt.
What'd she get?
She got, it was a picture of a big apple. And then it had a tag on it that said, taken. Which everyone thought was so adorable. And I did not understand at all. But I clapped for her anyway. And she smelled so good after getting her T-shirt Shack shirt. She smelled like the mall and it was great.
Speaking of the mall, you guys, where did you guys shop?
This is a tough question because there's a difference between, where I shopped with my family and then where I shopped when I had my own money. And so they're an awful, really, where did I shop? Penny's and Sears, because that's where my parents bought our clothes. And you only got clothes. We didn't go shopping all the time. You got clothes on Christmas and your birthday and for school shopping. And so you went to Sears and you went to Penny's. On very special occasions, you would go to the downtown Dayton's, which was our local department store. And that was a very special occasion. But I remember walking by other stores in the mall and being like, someday, when I have my own money, I'll go to Calico Corner or the County Seat.
Calico Corner. Calico Corner is
Calico Corner is the fabric store.
Furniture store.
Casual Corner.
Yes.
Someday, when I'm a lady with my own money and a purse, I'm going to go to Casual Corner. But it wasn't so bad. I mean, that's not a sob story because I got away with a lot of things without having all the name brands because there were some non-branded things that you could still get at Penny's and Sears, like the turtlenecks with the little, did you have the little mini printed turtlenecks?
I had
mini hearts. You could get the mini whales. Mm-hmm. And then you could have your initial necklace like fall out the top of your turtleneck. Like a little waterfall. So my little K would be dangling at the top of the turtleneck.
You
could get that.
I feel like Carolyn had a lot of those turtlenecks.
I did.
That seems like a very preppy thing.
I did. Well,
I had whales.
Yes. But my turtleneck days were, I had a lot of Dickies, as we've talked about before.
Well, congratulations.
Can we say it again? What did you have, Carolyn?
I had a lot of Dickies. Yes, my Dickie turtlenecks. I did have turtlenecks, but they weren't all there, literally. But in terms of mall stores, I, too, was like Kristen in that JCPenney and Sears were technically at the mall. So you could say, I guess those were my mall stores. But I have a distinct memory of when I kind of aged up in Sears. We would go as a family, like my dad and my sister. I guess she'd be shopping with my mom. My dad would be hanging out at that like nut, you know, where they sold the nuts and the popcorn.
Malt balls. We would get malt balls.
Yes.
Okay, my dad would always get cashews that were kind of warm, you know, in the bag.
Yeah. House of Nuts.
Yeah, there you go.
Or something like that.
My husband get your Dickies at the House of Nuts.
My husband worked at House of Almonds at the mall when he was a teenager.
But this, the nuts
I digress.
That my dad got were in Sears. They were like,
it was in Sears. It was at the candy counter.
Yeah.
It was at the candy counter. Yeah.
Yes. And there was popcorn there, I think, too. But that would be his thing. And then we'd be in the clothing section. But the excitement happened when I turned like 9 or 10. I got to go to the Lemon Frog shop.
Now, this Lemon Frog. Tell me more.
So the Lemon Frog shop was this kind of shop within a section at Sears. So it was, and I'm actually going to read you the ad right now. Are you between the ages of 11 and 14? Then Lemon Frog shop is for you. You had to measure. So the Lemon Frog shop was for girls whose height was 5 feet to 5 feet 4.5 inches.
That's very specific. Yes, what if you were 5'5"?
Nope. I was really cool. Just like my fashion icon, Lori Partridge, Susan Day.
Oh,
she is
that
the
her?
Model in this print ad for the Lemon Frog shop.
Wow.
She's wearing, her description of her dress says, for the gypsy in you, a pow print mini dress in crispy cotton broadcloth. Which actually would have been nice because the other dress was a saucy skimmer in a checked gingham of polyester with a ruffly bib and cuffs. But yes, I felt so cool because I actually got to graduate to that section
Right, and you were only in like fourth grade, so you felt like you were hanging out with the junior high.
I could wear the saucy skimmer.
I love that. Yeah. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, you do know that Carolyn has many superpowers, but and you also know that this is one of hers. But, you know, just the other day, the three of us were talking, and I said, hey, you guys, look at this picture. My sister's clearly wearing Adidas tennis shoes, the three stripes, you can tell. And she's, you know, I guess in this picture, I'm maybe seven, and so she's like 11. I said, but look at mine. They look like Adidas, but there's four stripes, and we all know Adidas have three stripes. And I was just sort of like, huh. Literally 15 minutes later, I get a text from Carolyn. She's done the rabbit hole research, and she has discovered that I am wearing the Kinney brand Adidas.
Because I think
they had four stripes.
Your mother was very influenced by Ken Berry and his orchestrated, choreographed dances in the commercials.
Or young enough to remember,
come to Kinney and explore.
How could you not want to go to Kinney Shoes after he is in the mall just doing his thing?
We need to go back to the tracks a little bit because there was a period of time when there was a transition from the canvas bumper style tennis shoes to the nylon and suede tennis shoes. Like, we forget that there was a time when those weren't tennis shoes. And I remember the first time I saw them and a neighbor came over and he said, these are tennis shoes. And I said, no, they're not. I was like, what? I don't know what you're talking about, but those are not tennis shoes.
Wait, what did you think tennis shoes were?
They were bumpers.
Like kids?
Canvas. No, like Chucks.
Yes,
gym shoes.
Oh, yeah.
This is another regional we should ask our Instagram followers because my mother called them sneakers, which I still call them to this day. And then sometimes I say tennis shoes when I'm talking about my running shoes. And then there was track shoes. And so it seems that kind of like the soda and pop and Coke discussion, there were different ways to refer to that all-encompassing kind of athletic shoe.
In my greater shoe collection, then, as I got older, you had to have a pair of deck shoes. And I wore my deck shoes with my sweats bechego. Is that a word you know?
What?
Oh, my God.
Is that one word?
They were like, they were... Bechego is B-I-C-H-E-G-O, and they were like track pants, but they were slacks. They were like slacks that had a stripe down the side, and you wore it with a rugby shirt and pearls.
Oh, wow. I get the rugby shirt and pearls. I'm not sure about the pants.
That seems very late 80s,
it could
early
be,
90s.
That could be Fred Moore Junior High. I'm not exactly sure. And then my other...
We called them Docksiders. We didn't call them deck shoes. We just called them Docksiders.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
The same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we lived in those in college, in the late 80s.
And I'm going to raise my hand and correct you a little bit on your pronunciation, because I only know this from very distinct... differentiation in my high school. So Sebago made dock sides. It's not dock ciders, actually.
Yes.
And Sperry made top ciders.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. Top ciders. That's what I meant. Top ciders. I meant Sperry top ciders. That's what
okay.
we
Okay. But Sebago.
But I hear people say dock ciders a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
But there is a difference.
I think you said dock something, and that's what stuck in my head.
No,
for sure it was top ciders.
We called them deck shoes.
Oh, okay. For
deck
sure
shoes.
It was top ciders.
So just differentiating, I mean, the Sperry and the Sebago look very similar, but there were some distinct differences. And the Sebago dock sides were the shoes in my high school. That's the ones you had.
And did you guys wear in, when I was in high school, so like Carolyn, you would have been in college. So I'm talking like 85, 86, 87. We lived in Bass penny loafers or just penny loafers.
Never had a
And
pair.
The Bass ones, when you'd get a new pair, they were so stiff. They hurt your feet so bad. But you guys,
you had to be
I had
barefoot,
a pair
right?
of soft, light pink Esprit penny loafers that were so soft. And I think my sister wore them. I think I wore them. We had pink ones and white ones. And oh, those were my favorite shoes, like the light pink penny loafers. I wear them with my stirrup leggings.
Oh, yeah.
Stirrups.
Big oversized
sweatshirt.
See,
I wore
them.
Did you guys ever wear boxing shoes? I would wear my stirrup leggings with my boxing shoes.
No, that's not cute, though.
They were like,
I can picture that.
This was a hot minute kind of thing, too, where they were like little leather lace-up boots.
Yeah.
Very light on your feet, and I'd wear them with my stirrup pants.
Well, and weren't bowling shoe, that bowling shoe style was popular, too, in the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which brings me actually to my next question to you guys. Is there anything that you were embarrassed that you didn't have that you really wanted to have some clothing or clothing item that you wanted, but maybe somebody in your family, mom, dad, perhaps said,
Oh yeah. Okay, so I talked about my deck shoes earlier, which is not to be confused with my duck shoes.
Oh, and duck, duck
shoes. Oh yes,
duck shoes.
Oh, I needed them. I wanted them so badly, and I remember being at Kinney trying on the duck shoes, and my dad was like, "If I told you you had to wear those, you would throw a fit, and you wouldn't do it." And I'm like, please, you don't understand. And he was trying to make me understand that I was being a lemming, that I was buying these super ugly shoes because everybody else had them. And I just begged and begged. And finally he said, okay.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
That's sweet. That's kind of how my mom, you remember when I was telling you when we moved to Washington and everyone had the giant wide-legged jeans?
Yeah.
And so, of course, my sister and I are like, we have to have the jeans to fit in. My mom thought they were the most heinous things she'd ever seen in her life. But we got them, you know, we had to fit in. And I remember one of my first pair were, the brand was called San Francisco Riding Gear, and mine were railroad stripes. So they were kind of light blue and dark blue pinstriped. And then even to make it better, the giant wide leg San Francisco Riding Gear that were painter pants. Ooh, painter so pants, they had yes. a little, they had a little, comb. A little, yeah, a little yeah. slot in the side where I could stick my comb.
Yeah. yeah.
Or a hammer.
Cause you know, I needed to or fluff my bangs. I didn't do a lot of hammering.
Well, you know,
but I needed to definitely fluff, you know, my hair was all straight, but yet you'd curl your bangs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then you'd put the comb in and you'd flip it back. So your bangs kind of feathered.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
and that this big was fifth comb grade. It was like the yeah, perfect feathering.
1979.
And let me tell you about the comb, because that leads me to my fashion item that I really wanted to have. And I remember having the discussion that I needed my first pair of Levi's corduroys, which my parents could not understand why I needed corduroys, because we lived in Houston, Texas, and it was really warm there. Who would wear corduroys? And I said I had to have some, and it had to have the red tag, and they had to have the back pockets for my comb. And my dad said, why do you need to carry a comb in your back pocket? And I said, Dad, I just need to. And Dad, it's not just any comb. It's a certain kind of comb. Yes, like he is. Said, I've got a bunch of combs in my drawer. Go get a comb.
No, Dad. No.
Dad, no. I'm not going to wear like Fonzie's comb or whatever in my back
from
pocket.
From the barber shop.
Yes. No, I need the big handled colored yeah. comb. And then he
with
said.
With the swirly color on
yes.
it.
Yes. yes. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to know how I wasn't going to hurt myself when I sat down with that comb. Like in school. So I did finally get some corduroys. They didn't have the Levi's thing. They were the plain pocket ones.
Oh, sad.
I know. And I think I borrowed someone's comb and didn't return it.
The only other thing that I needed to have that I didn't get and I was sort of embarrassed about was I didn't get an Izod shirt. I got the Sears or the JCPenney version of it. And so instead of a little alligator on my shirt, it was a parrot. And so I would kind of try and like hunch my shoulder over a little bit so nobody could see the parrot.
You just turn it on its side. You should have just unstitched it, figured out a way to turn it on its side.
Yeah.
You guys.
It's a yellow alligator.
Speaking of that, well, two things. Well, one, I'm not sure about the parrot because I know the fox was the JCPenney one.
Okay.
It was the JCPenney fox. I remember thinking about, I had a one Izod shirt, alligator shirt in a trunk. Course, and I did cut out the alligator and tried to sew him on a plane.
Oh,
I know.
Oh my God,
I know. This is how deep it goes. It's really bad. And then I remember with the Levi's. Do you guys? And I. This is so sad that I did this, or everybody did that I knew. But you know how they had the leather, like tag on the back that had the yeah, waist yeah. and the length size.
Yes, oh, I hated that.
People would erase like the waist right? thing yes. and try to write in, like you might have a 29 waist, but you raced it and tried to make it into a 6 or
23.
Well, and you could tell when awful? You looked at the label, you would see that it was written in with ballpoint
not
pen.
Mine. I worked really hard on mine.
It was fooling.
Crayola
marker. Mine fooled you. I'm sure it did.
You could, had that. You got that West. You got that Texas leather tooling kit out. And you yeah, hammered right. it in.
Okay. Did you guys ever have any like knockdown, drag out fights with your parents over like a particular item? I mean, clearly there are things that we didn't agree on. Your dad didn't understand why you couldn't just have a comb from the barbershop in your back pocket. But was there anything where like your parents were screaming at you?
No, I don't think so. And because there was two girls and we were only 3.5 years apart, like she always knew that if she spent money on, you know, a couple Izod shirts for my sister, mm-hmm. I could wear them a couple years later. It was an investment, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, no, I feel like she was always really supportive of our fashion choices.
Would she be okay with a crop top at the state fair?
Well, I didn't wear... Well, no, because I wasn't that kind of girl.
I was that kind of girl.
With your bandana on.
I think we've established
on.
That I was With not that bandana. Kind of girl.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you wear the bandana tied around your, like, boobs? Like, that kind of a top?
No.
You never looked like
that? Just a t-shirt you cut off, you mean?
No, you know how nice
no,
people...
No, I didn't cut it off. No, I bought it. But it showed my midriff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was going to the state fair in my crop top and my mini skirt.
Ooh, look at you go.
I know. I was really
That's
cute.
That's shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she wasn't having it. And I remember, like, running out the door, and she was, like, just screaming out the door, like, fine! Wait, we did get into one fight when I was really little because of my favorite outfit at the time was a pair of red, white, and blue plaid denim jeans. And I would wear it with an orange, yellow, and gray granny square. And she was like, you can't wear that together. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's my favorite outfit. Those things don't match. You can't wear a granny square with plaid pants. I had no idea. Like, what's this matching thing she's talking about? I didn't know things went together or didn't go together. And that was another time where she went, fine.
Look at her. She was trying to stifle your creativity.
I know.
At an early age.
I got to wear my granny square.
I have a distinct memory of something very similar. And it probably was right when I was trying to exercise some of my own right to wear what I wanted to wear. Same idea. It was a red turtleneck with, like, I guess it wasn't a full turneck, kind of a mock with a zipper that kind of came halfway down.
Not a dickie?
No, it was more, it was a full-on dickie. I mean, it was a Richard.
it was a big dickie.
It was the whole shirt. But it had a little zipper, that like the little circle on the bottom. And it was, guess, a shade of red. And then I had these pants that were another shade of red, did not match at all. And I remember my mom saying, and I wanted to wear it to school, and she said, it doesn't match. It doesn't look good. And she said, but it's up to you. But if you wear it, you're going to make a choice. If you wear that to school today, you do not get to come to the grocery store shopping with me after school.
I will not be seen with the mismatched reds.
It was more like I had to really decide, and I thought it was worth giving up the grocery store trip. I was going to wear the mismatched red outfit. And I did.
Lady.
And then another time, because my feet were really big, too. And so I must have been in, like, second grade, and I wanted to wear my mom's sandals that had, like, a little heel on them. They were probably, like, I wore a size 5 or something, and she wore a 6.5 or 7. Oh, I know what happened. Oh, gosh. I'm remembering this now as we speak. I got in the car, and that's the only shoes I brought. I didn't bring, like, my bumpers or my saddle shoes or anything. I only brought my mom's pair of sandals, and we got to the store and I had to wear them in because those were the only shoes I had. My mom was so mad at me, and I was just clopping through my board, and we
like
had to
get
on the escalator. They had like a cork heel, and I'm just thinking I'm all that, and I could barely keep them on my feet, and she thought I was gonna like fall down the escalator. She was so mad at me because I had that's the only shoes that I brought. Oh, I love you, Mom. So,
Okay, here, let's talk summertime. And can somebody please tell me who invented the tube top? Like, whose idea was that?
The tube top. I was never a tube top girl. I know, it's shocking.
There was a time I remember when I was like, you know, you wear tube tops, and then one day I was like, I might be naked. I don't think I should be wearing a tube top anymore.
I was a little chubby when I was like before sixth grade, before seventh grade, I didn't really hit a growth spurt. So I definitely would be a little girl like from like maybe fourth and fifth grade that you might look at and go, oh, you know, you're a little, like, you know, my little belly.
Michelle.
And so I didn't wear that kind of stuff. I just remember in the 70s wearing a lot of terry cloth.
Oh, yeah. Those
like
rompers.
The terry cloth. The romper.
The rompers.
Yep.
And you'd have a little tie around your neck.
Yep.
I think mine had like they went over both shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s for summer, I think for sure like dolphin shorts, short shorts.
Who wears short shorts?
Striped ones with tube socks.
And
then just
shorts.
A lot of Hang Ten t-shirts and like Izod shirts, that type of stuff, but mostly dolphin shorts, just short shorts.
I've never heard that term before. Were they jogging shorts?
Oh, yeah. I have on our Pinterest board, there's a whole dolphin section, like in fashion.
I have never
dolphin shorts
heard
are a
that
thing.
Before.
So that must be a regional
that
thing.
That could be regional.
Were they
I would
silky?
Be in the like.
Yeah, they're silky.
Okay.
Like you wear for gym and stuff.
I had those, but I didn't. Did they have a dolphin on them? Or were they
yeah,
just called dolphin?
Yeah, I think dolphin? So. And the brand was dolphin. And then
yeah,
they, a lot of
the
them
brand.
Were striped.
See, I didn't
like
have any
blue and white
either.
Striped. And okay. stuff.
Yes, I remember yeah. those. And I remember them being silky. That would be like something that. Mm-hmm. Jacqueline Smith and, you know, Farrah would wear mm-hmm.
When they were skateboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
skateboarding.
We would wear them with tube socks. Yeah. This isn't like yeah. the 80s. We'd okay. wear like dolphin shorts and like tank tops and tube socks.
And I didn't have any tube tops, but I did have some that had the tie. I think that's how my mom would justify it not being a tube top. But I remember mm-hmm. leaving yeah. the house and I would untie it and I would tuck the ties into the top of the
Oh,
tube
racy,
like
Carolyn.
The ones that the ties came yes. right from the center.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like it almost ruched
right
up.
From the
and
center
then
and around
I
your
feel
neck.
Like I had some of those too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. But. What about like disco era? Did you have anything that was definitely inspired by Dance Fever? Or
I mean,
solid gold.
I was too young, I think. I mean, other than my satin jacket that
you
I
didn't
loved.
Have a
just
snake
like a...
belt? Did you have a snake belt? Those metal,
no.
the stretchy
oh, yeah, yeah.
belt?
Oh,
was
for
that
sure.
disco?
Yes.
But
yes.
so you'd
sure.
wear it with your Gloria Vanderbilts. Or
yes.
I didn't
yes.
have Gloria. I had like the faux Gloria Vanderbilt, so I had like my Gloria Vanderbilt.
You know what? The snake belt I'm remembering was my mom's, though, and I used to
Oh, you
to
may
play
have borrowed
it,
yeah.
I don't
and
remember.
And sometimes you'd wear it over, you would either wear it in the belt loops of your Gloria Vanderbilts, or you would wear a, like a button-down shirt,
yes.
untucked, and then you'd wear your snake belt,
your snake belt around,
around
it.
Your waist nice. Over yes. the shirt.
I do recall that.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I didn't. I think I was just, I think I was too young.
Mine
you know, like
had
I said,
a little padlock
I didn't hit...
on it. It was super cute.
Okay.
That does sound cute.
mm-hmm.
No, just my satin. And then I had like a satin tracksuit, you know.
I didn't
and
know.
I was,
satin's
I was sort
disco,
of a disco right? queen, so I could have been veering in that direction. Because I also had like, I had my disco fantasy outfit that I didn't actually own. But I had designs on owning it eventually. I didn't know that eventually disco would come crashing down. I couldn't imagine where would disco go. But I, for when I was going to be on Dance Fever, I was going to wear a satiny blue dance skin leotard, and then mm-hmm. over the leotard would be a matching dance skin wraparound skirt.
Oh, the wraparound
wrap
skirt.
Around.
The wraparound
yes.
skirt. So then when I would twirl, the dance skin skirt would fly up and
yeah.
show the bottom part of my leotard.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That sounds impressive. I'm surprised
really
I can't
does.
Think of a disco outfit because, ladies, I took disco lessons at Marsha Hyland School of Dance, and Marsha Hyland choreographed the Miss America pageant in Atlantic City. So
this
we
is,
were not.
This is big news.
This is really big.
I know. So
do you still
I learned,
remember your moves?
I know a little bit of the bus stop and the
what?
Hustle and,
okay.
you know, the bump. We
you
didn't...
know what? We're only
yeah,
like,
guess
we're out
what?
From getting together in person. And guess whose Instagram account needs some reels?
I'll see if I can find a dance
the
leotard.
The PCPS one, yep.
Yeah, there mm-hmm. you go. But I do recall, and I was trying to look it up before we recorded today to see what they were called, but I remember having these like scarf things. They weren't like a scarf that was going to keep you warm in the winter.
Oh,
they were almost
oh,
like
oh.
these, almost like yeah. fishnetty mm-hmm. material with like mm-hmm. knots on the bottom.
You knotted them at the ends.
Yes.
You wore them under the lapels of your blazer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you were dancing with
just
one on,
accessory.
You could grab
yeah.
them from the other person and kind of
oh,
pull them
and
into
do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like
so.
Reeling them in. You would grab yeah. the knotted thing under the lapels
yes,
of their
but
big
but I
blazer.
Couldn't find a picture or anything. I'm going to have to go down a more of a rabbit hole to see if I can.
I wore
find
leg warmers, but that's later. Leg warmers
oh,
are coming later.
How could I forget the leg warmers?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'd actually wear leg warmers, like, not when I was that's in dance.
That.
Like, I'd wear leg warmers,
yeah.
like, with my outfit.
And I refused to do that. There were a lot of lines that I would not cross because I thought they were dumb. And I used leg warmers
excuse
to actually
me.
Warm my legs in dance class. And so when people started wearing leg warmers over their acid wash jeans, I was like, I am not playing this game. I'm not
yeah.
doing it.
I think the real dancers in the group... of my friend, that would be like a no-no. Just like, you're just trying too hard. You don't
yeah.
get to wear
yeah.
those. I earned
mm-hmm.
the right to
I wouldn't
to wear
them over jeans, but we would wear them. I mean, I was in like dance groups and stuff, mm-hmm. so we would wear them, you know, like over our warm-up pants and stuff like
that. See,
that,
makes a little more sense,
them. I don't
least.
Think I wore them over jeans.
People wore them over jeans. It was
heinous. I think we wore them with shorts.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And plus, they would wear them just over their calf muscles. And I'd be like, you know, they go up the whole leg, right?
Oh.
But of course they didn't know because they were wearing it as a fashion accessory.
Yeah.
Huh. Hmm. So you didn't have either of you had a members only jacket?
Oh, for only sure. Wanted
yes,
one.
I did.
Oh,
I did
isn't that disco? One.
Oh, is it?
No, that's
I was
preppy.
Thinking that was more 80s.
No.
Yeah, it's more like...
No.
Oh, that well, is preppy. With your deck shoes and your corduroys.
For sure. And overalls.
Oh, my overalls. I had one very traumatic event in which I took some of my 70s style over into the 80s and it ended poorly. And I had my overalls and my bandana on my head. And then I had these tall boots and we weren't wearing tall boots in the 80s. That was over. And these were almost like, they were like something you would wear to the disco with your Gloria Vanderbilts. And I tucked my overalls into the tall boots and I'm walking into Fred Moore Junior High with my and the overalls are like all blousy over the top of the tall
of course,
boots
yeah.
and my bandana on my head. And I walked into math
now?
Class. Yes. The one that is on my head at this very moment, I walk into math class with my big copy of Gone with the Wind so I could hide behind my book. And there were some boys who were like, nice boots. And that's all they said. They didn't say anything besides
it
nice
stuck
boots.
Stuck with you for this long.
I never wore the boots again. I never wore the overalls again. That was it.
That was probably a good choice
you
not
just
to do that
to,
again.
I know. That was a good choice.
I was just about to stick up for her and say, you know what? She was just trying to be herself and figure out who she was.
Yeah.
And then all they had to say was nice boots. And this many decades later, mm-hmm. it still is with you.
So I have one last question for you. Did you have a style icon, like your own personal style icon, somebody in the media that you looked up to and you really wanted to be when you grew up?
Well, I think I had two people, somebody that inspired me kind of my age, and then somebody who I might have wanted to grow up and dress like. And they were both in the same television show. Christy McNichol as Buddy. I just loved her. She could just pull it all off. She was kind of tomboyish, mm-hmm. but she'd mm-hmm. wear the rugby shirt. She'd wear the jeans. She had just perfect hair. And I just wanted to be Christy McNichol, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Buddy Lawrence. And then when I grew up, I wanted to be Meredith Baxter Burney, the yeah. sister that lived in the backyard in Family,
oh,
and have
the same
her wardrobe.
Show. Yeah.
Yes. I thought she was really cool, too. And she had a very cool wardrobe. So that's who yeah. I'm going with for my... Okay. style icons.
That's Michelle? Very specific. That's
yeah,
good.
For me, again, we're going to like around 1980, 81. Mm-hmm. I mean, no question. And after everything I've told you in this episode, this will not be a surprise. But for me, I idolized Mallory Keaton on Family Ties. Mm-hmm. So also we're Carolyn with
Meredith Baxter
Burney was her mm-hmm. mom. But you guys, first of all, I loved her as just a character on the show. But her fashion... I mean, she always wore like skirts with ruffled shirts, or she had the brightly colored oversized sweaters and sweatshirts. She wore gunny sacks. She wore the collars popped up. She was super, super preppy, but also just like styled. And I loved it. I loved everything about her. I just, but especially her fashion. And I've been watching Family Ties lately because you can watch the entire series on Paramount Plus, which is worth the $5.99 a month for me just to watch Family Ties when I want to. And again, I'm just like going crazy. I keep doing screenshots of different outfits Mallory shows up in because I'm screaming as I'm watching it now as a 52-year-old woman. I'm like, look at her outfit. It's so cute. Yeah. So
this
for me,
is so interesting
Mallory
to me
Keaton.
Because this explains actually who you are right now, right? Like Carolyn, I can see you pulling off some Christy McNichol looks right now. And Michelle, I can see you pulling off Mallory looks right now. I think,
well, I'm
I
sitting
think you
here
carry
in my ruffled,
that,
my
totally.
Ruffled Target dress.
I think you carry that with you. And I think that's like, I think that's something that you have to listen to. For me, yeah. I've told you guys this before because it's sort of a surprising one and I'm sure it's nobody else's style icon. But I loved Suzanne Pleshette on the Bob Newhart show.
No, honey, when you
loved
were in kindergarten,
her
you were wearing pantsuits in kindergarten.
I had my orange pantsuit.
It's not surprising.
It was she had maxi skirts for days, and her collars were like wall to wall collars. They were like wings. She was going to take
That's
flight
right.
with her collars, and they would like totally. You wouldn't even be able to see her fitted blazer underneath her big collar. I just loved the way Emily Hartley dressed. And maybe you're right. I think the orange pantsuit is sort of an homage yeah. to Suzanne Pleshette.
She was a huge style icon. You can actually watch all those shows on, is it
on,
is it Hulu
on
or
Hulu,
HBO Max?
On Hulu.
Yeah, one yeah. of them. Mm-hmm. Because I was one of, we'll cut that.
One of them.
Yes. And that is one thing that strikes me when I'm watching the new Bob Newhart show reruns is Suzanne Pleshette was just fabulously styled.
She was.
Yeah.
She was.
So cool.
And as
neck
I sit here,
always had like the neck scarf.
Yes. She always had something around her neck. And that was sort of my 90s look too. My late 90s look was always a little silk scarf around my neck or a choker or something like that. Emily would oftentimes wear chokers. And so even right now, what I'm wearing, this is what Emily would wear to paint the apartment in Chicago. Right. My denim shirt. You guys, I'm even wearing my bell bottoms and my clogs right now. And I still, just like I can see both of you guys wearing the things that you, of the people that you mentioned, I can still picture myself wearing Suzanne Pleshette clothing. Let's close this episode with an exercise. This is for our listeners. Everyone take a few minutes today and do what we just did. Really think about those outfits that made you feel like $100 when you were a kid. Are there any trends that still speak to you right now? Is there a way you can replicate it right now? Because I still wear bell bottoms and clogs on the regular. You can for sure find a Mork and Mindy shirt if that's your deal. Target, oh my God, I'm looking at Michelle right now wearing her prairie dress from Target. Do this for yourself. Do it to honor the person that you were. That little person still lives inside of you. It'll make you feel awesome, I promise.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I do feel awesome in my prairie dress.
Right?
Even though my
you
family ridiculed awesome in your the prairie hell out of me.
You look so
Thank
good.
You.
You look like you. That's the point, Michelle. You look like you.
Well, you guys, we hope that all of our listeners will join us next time because we'll be talking about those little musical montage things. You know, those things we saw on TV, the things that would eventually be known as music videos and give birth to an entire cable network called MTV.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
That is going to be fun.
Excited for that one. And hey, all of you who are listening, what were your favorite outfits growing up in the 70s and 80s? Post it on your favorite social media platform and tag us at Pop Culture Preservation Society so we can see and share. And make sure you're following all the fun we're having on social media. Just search Pop Culture Preservation Society. Also, and this is very important, if you enjoy our conversations, please subscribe and please leave a nice review or even just click those stars and share with your friends. And if they don't know how to listen to podcasts, please show them how easy it is.
This is a thing we're learning. How do you listen to a podcast? In the meantime, let's raise a glass for a toast. Courtesy of our favorite swinging roommates hanging out at the Regal Beagle, Jack Tripper, Janet Wood, and the inimitable Chrissy Snow. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to me, the Crushologist, and Carolyn and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, I guess there's always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded at Modern Well, a woman-centered co-working space in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.
We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song.